travel and logistics of several things that have been happening over the past several days that just didn't allow me the time that I would normally like to spend in preparation. I knew God had closed my mind up to a particular area, but I wasn't sure. You ever just have to just step out and trust God? And that's kind of what I was doing this morning. And I got here, well, actually, I got an email the other day that one of the songs that would be singing this morning was, "I Know You Are My Healer." And I said, well, that's pretty good. Because one of the things that, one of the main things I was going to talk about this morning was healing. You know, is anybody else just tired of church like usual? Anybody else just tired of that? I mean, I've just got to confess, you know, and please understand, I'm not talking about us. I'm just talking about the church world in general. Man, there's a lot of times when, I don't want this to sound rude, so if I come across as offensive, I'm not saying it right, but there's sometimes when I feel like that many church services are just a waste of my time. That I would be better off to stay at home and mow my grass or something, that I'd be more productive. Because if we're not careful, this can become just a routine. We come in, we stand up, we sing a few songs, we sit down, we listen to someone blabber for 15, 20, 30 minutes, and then we go home and we walk out sick just like we came in sick. And we walk out sinners just like we came in sinners. And we walk out bound just like we came in bound. And I'm just tired of that. I mean, I can get that at the Moose Lodge. I don't have to come to church. I mean, I could. Do you feel my frustration? And it's especially compounded when I realize that in theory, we believe that God can do anything. The scripture that I was going to read this morning, I want to read them to you just real quick. Malachi 3, verse 6. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. But Malachi 3, 6 says this: "I am the Lord, and I do not change. Hebrews says it this way: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Now, I'm not wanting to pick on anybody this morning. I'm not wanting to make anybody mad or upset. But we are full gospel people. Well, what does that mean? I wasn't brought up in a Pentecostal or a full gospel church. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. It means we believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That if he ever did it, or if he ever was that, he still is that, and he still is doing that, and he shall forever. So if he ever healed anybody, did anybody ever read anything in the New Testament about it? Jesus going about into all of their villages and teaching and preaching and healing all sick among them? Anybody read the story about blind Bartimaeus where Jesus just healed him? Or the man that they let down through the roof. First of all, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." Who does this guy think he is? Does he have the authority to forgive sin? See, salvation is an internal work, and I can't necessarily look at you and tell you if you're saved or not. And so Jesus came right out and he said, "So that you will know that I have the authority to forgive sins, get up and walk." He did an external thing display and demonstrate that he has all authority. He can do an inward work. He can do an outward work. And he's the same. See, there's a whole group. God bless them. We love them. We're going to share heaven with them. But there's a whole group out there that says, once the Bible was finished, we no longer have a need for all of these supernatural workings of miracles. Well, wouldn't that be nice? If we didn't get sick anymore, If folks didn't get bound and need deliverance, wouldn't that be nice? But I read in this scripture, everywhere Jesus went and he found folks that were bound by the devil, he cast the devil out of them. Everywhere Jesus went and found sick people, he was healing them. He couldn't stand for sickness to exist in his presence. It's just his nature. That's why I grow weary of church like normal, where folk can walk in sick and we don't even challenge it. Now, they may still leave sick, and there's all kinds of factors there that I can't explain, I can't understand. There's the sovereignty of God. There's the faith of the individual. There's the fact that sometimes God allows things for his own glory and outside of our understanding, and I can't begin to explain all of that. But one thing I do know is that God is a healing God. God is a saving God. And that was my message this morning. And what I was hoping for, I was hoping that at the close we could do that. I know you are a healer. That song, I'm probably messing it up big time, but you know it. I was hoping we could sing that song and somehow through the course of the song service and through the course of the preaching of the word, that faith would be stirred and that folks would respond and come forward and believe God for healing. And I'm standing there and I'm watching this whole thing unfold in front of me. Gina, where are you? Where? God bless you. God bless you for your obedience. She started saying, "We believe in healing." And I'm going, "Oh, here we go. We believe in anointing with oil and laying on of hands." I'm thinking, man, she's all over my mess. Did I leave my notes up there? What? And you begin to respond. Now here's where we are. I just can't say amen and let us go home yet. Because I know, not because I'm super genius or anything like that, but statistics tell me that there's somebody here who's still not quite sure. Can I tell you, God loves you, but you don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't, but he does, and he still loves you. But you don't know how far I've gone. You're right, I don't, but he does, and he still says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, you're preaching to a Sunday morning crowd. We're all saved. Let me tell you something. I learned a lesson a long time ago. I was in Bible college. We were preparing to be ministers, every one of us. And we had a preacher to come in and preach in our chapel service. 1,500 of us in one chapel service. And we had a preacher come in and he starts preaching a salvation message. And here I am, a freshman, know-it-all freshman. And in my mind, I'm thinking, who does this guy think he is? Doesn't he know he's in a Bible college? We're already saved. We're already preparing ourselves for ministry. What on earth is he doing? He preaches a salvation message. At the end of the message, he gives an altar call for people to get saved. And probably 150 people respond. And so I learned a lesson that day. Don't make any assumptions, but always give opportunity. Friend, hear me this morning. You think you came because someone invited you and you were trying to get them off your back? You think you came because, well, I haven't been in a while and we'll see what they're up to over there. I don't know. Whatever reason you came. Maybe you're a first time. Maybe you've been here longer than anyone else in the church. I don't really, those things are immaterial to me. What matters to me today is that you understand one thing very, very, very clearly. God loves you without condition. Just like you are. He loves you so much, just like you are, that he can't stand to leave you that way. He wants to make you more and more and more and more into his own image. He wants to change your life. Not just give you a new perspective, not just help you turn over a new leaf. Listen, friend, he wants to change your life radically, fundamentally change your life. For some of you, that's good news because you're not real happy with the life you have right now. Can I tell you, Jesus loves you. And he can do an inward work on you that nobody will be able to deny. And so in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the love of Jesus that's been knocking at your heart all service long. You're not going to get out of here without an opportunity to make it right. Neither will you be able to leave out of here and say, I never had a chance. Today is your chance. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, in just a few moments, we're going to let you make that right. We're going to let him begin a work in you that he will continue until everything is all said and everything is all done. Secondarily, because he has authority to do an inward work that no man can see, he has the power to do an outward work that all can see. You see, when Christ died on the cross, it wasn't just for the salvation of the soul. It was for the healing of the body. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. Our infirmities, he bore them on the cross. Infirmities can be anything from a physical sickness to an emotional weakness of any kind. Any place of weakness in your body, in your mind, in your spirit. You know, that's where the enemy always goes, is right to the point of weakness. And he presses in. The weakest spot, he pressures you right there in that spot. It might be physical. It might be emotional. It might be some kind of bondage that you're in. I don't know. But the enemy knows exactly how to get you at your weakest point. And the scripture says that one of the things that Christ accomplished was the healing of our infirmities, our weaknesses, for deliverance and healing. And so you don't have to leave. Well, I'm already saved. I'm not talking about salvation at this point. I'm talking about that thing that just keeps on getting you. That thing that you just can't seem to shake. For some of you, it's a physical illness. For others, it's something mental or something emotional. It's a fear or it's an unforgiveness or whatever it is. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to set you free from that today. You can walk out of here a new person. No longer bound and chained to that thing. The song says, Jesus, you're all I need. He really is all you need. Let's stay in one more time. We're getting ready to pull this thing to a close now.
Can you lead us in that song? And I believe you're my healer.
There's nobody that has a key that can unlock this altar for you.